This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Look at the footnotes.
I should footnote this.
Is there another footnote?
And there's a footnote at the bottom, plus footnotes, endnotes, a glossary, and two epilogues.
Find out what it says in the footnote.
Welcome back to Footnotes. In the off week, we'll be going back and picking out the best bits of our episodes so far. We might even sprinkle in some bonus content here and there as well. Full episodes will always be linked in the show notes so you can go back and listen to the whole conversation. And this week, we are turning back the clock to our interview with psychology lecturer Matt about how we can hack our brain to retain more information and get the most out of it during those heavy study and exam periods. So how can students work with their brain to best retain info and move new information from short-term to long-term memory?
Well, first, we should talk about what we mean by short-term and long-term memory. So our short-term memory is a limited capacity and limited duration storage. We generally think about it as being able to store around 7, so 5 to 9 bits of information, and we only store it for around 20 to 30 seconds. So I might tell you my phone number, but if you don't write it down after about 20 or 30 seconds, you probably won't remember it. On the other hand, our long-term memory appears to have unlimited capacity and unlimited duration. So think of all the things you have done and everything that you know. You have a little universe inside your head crammed full of information, and it gets bigger and bigger every day as you learn more and more things. And some of this information you'll remember for the rest of your life. You might live until you're 100 and remember things from when you were 3 or 4 years of age. Now, that's a really, really long time. And when we're talking about long-term memory, it's useful to think about 3 main processes: encoding, storage, and retrieval. Encoding is getting the information into our memory, storage is holding it there, and retrieval is the act of accessing this information so we can use it. When I talk about these processes, it makes the brain sound a bit like a computer, and in some senses it is. But our memory storage is really different to memory storage on a computer. If you save something on a computer, unless something goes wrong, it should be a perfect copy of what you encoded, and it should never disappear.
Mm.
Our memory doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, we forget a lot of the information that we are trying to remember, and a lot of what we remember is not a perfect copy of the original. This can make trying to remember all the things you are supposed to be remembering in your classes here at uni really, really hard. But thankfully, there are some study approaches that you can employ that, with practice, will lead to effective storage and retrieval of that information.
Yeah, so what are some of, I guess, those more effective study methods then?
Well, when students think about studying, they often think about activities such as rewatching lecture recordings or reading back over their notes and highlighting or underlining things. And while these activities can be an important part of studying, we know from many, many different studies that these activities on their own are not the most effective way to retain information. Numerous studies have shown that the most effective approach to retaining information is spaced practice and self-testing. So what do I mean by this? I'm sure you're all familiar with the idea of cramming before an exam. So a week before an exam, or even the night before, hopefully not, you start to do your studying and you try to cram as much information in as you can. And while this is better than doing no studying at all, it's certainly not the most effective way to retain this information. It's far more effective to begin studying much earlier and spacing out your study sessions. So it doesn't have to be every day. It could be every other day or every 3 days. But if you want to try to set aside regular, repeated study sessions over an extended period, I mean, half an hour every 3 days or 3 or 4 weeks, over 3 or 4 weeks, will be much more effective than 12 hours just the day before an exam. And aside from spacing out the studying, the other key activity is to actively self-test. And one way to do this is to take a lecture that you've watched, write down a list of the main things you need to remember, and sometimes lecturers, hopefully good lecturers, will include these dot points in a summary at the end of the lecture. Read over those dot points and try to memorise them. Then cover them up, and on another piece of paper, try to write them down from your memory. So don't look, just from memory. And once you've done this, uncover the original and see how you went, noting any of the mistakes that you made. Then repeat this procedure over and over until you're making no errors or very few errors. And then a day or so later, repeat this procedure, and a day or so after that, repeat it again, and so on. And what you'll notice is that each time you're making fewer and fewer errors, and you should be retaining more and more of the information.
Mm.
So if you do those two things, use regularly spaced study sessions in which you self-test, you'll be effectively encoding the information you need, which means you'll be able to effectively retrieve this information when you need it. And hopefully not just for an exam, but in a few years' time, or in 2 years' time, 10 years' time, when you've graduated and you're out in the workforce applying all the wonderful things you've learned at uni in all sorts of amazing and interesting ways.
Yeah, and I like that because I think it takes the pressure off doing a lot of study at a time as well, because you're spacing it out. You don't have to do massive, 6-hour blocks of study at a time. You can really make that smaller. And
absolutely. If you're organised, then, and you do this regular, it becomes part of your routine, and it's trying to cram this stuff in can be really stressful, and we want to avoid that as much as we can.
Yeah. And are there any, I guess, commonalities or habits from students that are academically successful at uni?
Absolutely. I mean, so one thing, like I said, being organised, so knowing when your due dates are, keeping on top of tasks, it's really, really important. It's also really important not to put things off or avoid them until the very last minute. And while on the one hand, you should be aiming at doing a great job with all of your assignments, it isn't too good to be too much of a perfectionist, because few things are ever really perfect. And if you aim for perfection, you might never actually get anything finished. And lastly, I find that students that are interested in their studies tend to do much better than students that are not. And I know that we all find some courses more interesting than others, but if overall you're not finding your time here at uni to be interesting in what you're doing, then maybe you should have a think about what it is that you're studying and why. And maybe you should be studying something different, something that you find interesting and that will make you motivated and excited about what it is that you're meant to be learning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you sort of started to mention it there, but I think a lot of people, perfectionists aside, it feels like you should, be using, I guess, every waking moment that you had for study, especially, I guess, in those pinch points of the semester. And, particularly when you're in the pursuit of that ideal HD. But how much is, I guess, enough study?
It's a really good question. I guess it's going to depend from person to person and situation to situation. But we know that you study more effectively when you're alert and when you're awake. But you don't want to be doing things like relying on caffeine or anything else to keep you alert, because if you have too much caffeine, you won't sleep well, and then you'll be tired the next day, and it'll end up in this sort of cycle of ineffective studying. So if you're feeling tired, you've got to get up and go for a walk, go for a stretch, get into the sunshine. And it's really important that you do take breaks. But if you follow my advice from earlier about the spaced practice, then taking breaks, it shouldn't be a problem, because soon enough you'll be back at doing your studying the next day or the day after. And this is why setting routines like this can be really, really important.
Yeah. And I guess on that, a lot of students have so much going on in their lives, whether it's part-time work or, a social life and all that kind of stuff. So I guess how much of our lives should we actually be giving up to study?
From my perspective, as a lecturer, I'm hoping that you're not giving up any of your life for your study. Hopefully you're loving being at uni and you're loving this active learning process. But in terms of the kind of the techniques that I've been talking about, the spaced practice, the self-testing, if you can set aside half an hour every day or every other day, I'm sure you'll be amazed at what you're able to learn and how much of this information you're able to retain and retain really effectively. I guess we know that everything gets easier the more you practice it. So whether that's learning a language or driving a car or learning about psychology or chemistry or journalism or accounting or whatever it is that you happen to be studying.
Take note.
Next time I promise to read all the footnotes.
This is a UOA On Campus production.